Okay, I guess I'll begin. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I think Rabbi Jacobs gave you a bit of a syllabus. I'm not sure. This is supposed to be a series of shiurim about halachic issues that one faces in a kiruv position. Not everything will be kiruv shilas, because by definition, people have other types of shilas as well. Certainly, if anyone will go into Rabbanus, then virtually every single question that we'll be discussing will be nogea. If you're in college campus, some will be more nogea, some will be less nogea, etc. But you know, whatever it is, it's important that a person have a general approach to deal with these issues. But let me emphasize a very, very basic idea, and that is, it is extremely important that whatever your position is in Rabbanus or Chinuch, that you do have a poskim that you still talk to. Because on one hand, obviously, you have an achrayus to learn halacha. You can't simply say, you know, I'll be an amoretz, and if I have any shaila, I'll ask. Because first of all, if you're an amoretz, you don't even know that you have a shaila. That's one thing. But second of all, the emes is that every person has to have a Rebbe. Every person has to have somebody that they go to. You know, when Baruch Ber was one of the Gedolei Ador, when Rav Chaim was Nifter, he made the Briska Rav his Rebbe, even though the Briska Rav was in fact younger than Rav Baruch Ber and the like. So the notion that one has to continue to have someone to ask Shilas is really number one, because there are always greater people than any of us are that we need to turn to. But number two, there's also a shaila of negiyas, meaning even if you're a big, big Talmud Chacham, even if you know the halachas, even if you know all of the shitas that you have to apply, but when you yourself are confronted with a shaila, there are great nisyanis to cut corners, especially in Kiruv Rechaikim, where a person often has the philosophy that the ends can justify the means, etc. And sometimes your financial support may be toloi on being makel in a certain way, and that's a form of shochad, that is a form of bribery. And then you may overcompensate. You may say, but dafka to be kairish my negiyas, I'm dafka, you're not going to give in, and do the opposite. That's also a mistake, because it's a shame that it's not right to be makel when it's proper to be machmer. It's not right to be machmer, right? There's a famous vidoy from Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. This is not the Ran, this is from before Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, in which a person is misvada, asarti as amutr, vihitarti as asr. That I have to be misvada, not only when I matured that which was asr, but also when I asr that which was mutr. So because of this, because all of us are nogeya b'davar, adam karei veitzalatzmai, and maybe a child of your parnasa, it is important to have some type of das taira that is outside of your immediate negias. And that is why you need to have a paisek that you can talk to. But at the same time, I want to tell you a danger with that. That is, there is a statement in Pirkei Avos, Al tadin es chavercha ad shedagia l'mkaymai. Right? You don't judge somebody until you're in his place. And the Rishayim all explain that the concept is that every matzef is different, every situation is different, and it's not always possible for a person who is not really familiar with the environmental situations that you're in to be able to understand the matzef. To be quite frank, and I don't want to get in trouble for this, maybe I'll shut off the recording, sometimes poskim in Eretz Yisrael are not familiar with what is going on in America, and sometimes the situation is different. That's not taking away from the godless of a paisek here, but the pshat is, it's better to have somebody who is familiar with the matzav. Now again, obviously it's apples and oranges. If you're, you know, if the question is, should I ask Rav Chaim Kanevsky or should I ask the local young Israel rabbi, that's not an equal situation. But you try to be machapis, a Talmud Chacham and a gadol in the United States that is familiar with the matzav, that is a better thing. That is why Rav Moshe Feinstein never paskened any shaila b'nogei Eretz Yisrael. I mean, if it was something that didn't, if it was like a cholent or whatever it is. And that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman was never machria halachic shailas b'nogei America. Bizman hazeh, people tend to have a certain freedom to do everything, to paskin here and there and there and there. But even Rav Chaim, I mean, a typical Rav Chaim Kanevsky tshuva is two words. One word, two words. And Rav Chaim says he doesn't know the matzav. He doesn't know the matzav. He doesn't know the matzav. Rabbi Yashiv would say he doesn't know the matzav. So on one end, you need a paisek that you can turn to, but you need a paisek who is familiar with the situation. I don't mean to automatically say that America will always be more Mekel, although usually it'll turn out that way. But what is proper for a Haredi world here is not necessarily going to be the mahalach that you take there, right? So one has to know. That is nichlal in the Chachma of Chazal, of Al Todin es Chavercha Ad Shetagi Elum Kaimai. Yep.
How often is it the person knows you passing?
Well, the Pesach should know you as well. Depending on the Shaila, not everything will depend on you, but sometimes it will. And, you know, that's why they say in modern Hebrew there's an interesting distinction between Psak and Pesika, although we don't, in the Yeshiva world we don't use that distinction, but Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, that Sal was a very chashuva person, although perhaps not within the Haredi circles, but he was worthy of at least being mentioned. I know nobody even mentioned him here. But Rav Aaron Lichtenstein used to say, Psak is to know the theoretical halacha. Pesika is how to apply that theoretical halacha to an actual matzav. And there you see, the language of halacha is filled with things, ideas of shas hadchak, hefsid meruba. These are like intangible, soft terms. These are not rigid, logical, analytical terms. No, in terms of halacha, the halacha is either this or that. You know, what do you mean, hafsid meruba? But the answer is that it's built into the framework of halacha, that when you have different shitas in halacha, which one of them you apply very much depends. So this is an important chiluk. You're never going to use hefsid meruba to change a halacha. This is what the Ramah says. It's not the pshat. You can't say, well, the halacha is that it's utter, but for hefsid we'll change the halacha. In other words, it's not something that changes halacha, but when there are different shitas, these are machriyim as to which shita should be appropriate. In fact, the Ramah says this way. The Ramah says, whenever we're makel by hefsid meruba, the Ramah says, the way to understand it is, it's not that we're makel by hefsid meruba, it's we're machmer shelo by hefsid meruba, meaning, if we're makel by hefsid meruba, that means the halacha is that it's mutter. Elamai, shelo by makam hefsid, one should be stricter than the Ramah says it. One should be stricter to be chayshish for the miyat. But hefsid meruba is actually what the halach is. That's what the Ramah says. You're not mekel, huh?
Where's the Ramah?
This is in the Hakdama to the Taras Chatas. The Ramah says, any kula behefsid meruba, the pshat is, that is the halacha. That is the halacha. But one should be machmir, shalom b'machmir. Right, so we should almost say it the other way. We shouldn't say mekel behefsid. We should say, nachon lahachmir kishayin hefsid meruba. That's what the Taras Chatas says. Okay. So these are things that are important. So in a way, I'm already telling you a paradox. You'll have many stiras in Chutz Laretz, but one of the paradoxes is you need a paisek beyond yourself, but you also need someone that is familiar with what you're going through. Right? So it can't be a paisek that's too much beyond yourself, right? Because then he doesn't. Then it's al tadnis chavercha ad shetagi elum kaimai. And as I say, the big nisayon that you have in any kiruv position is there's always a nisayon to compromise because of the ends justifying the means. And then you have the opposite nisayon of overcompensating the other way, which is also a toy. So you have to know how to strike the shikul and how to strike the balance. Right? So
these are,
huh? Hey, why do we use Lashon of Chavercha? Yeah. Chavercha would be the one asking the Shaila. I'll tell this Chavercha. Someone comes to me for a psak, I shouldn't judge that person until I'm in his makam. That's a famous Hasidic story about a Rebbe who had to change his shirt 10 times a day because sweat. Does someone ask, why are you always changing? He says, well, it's very shver to me. Someone comes and asks me a Shaila, I got to put myself in his masav. So I have to become him to understand his shayla, but then I have to become me to answer the shayla. I can't be him. I have to become me, and then I have to communicate it to him. So I got to become him again. So this happens 100 times a day. So I'm a mela. I get sweated up. I'm constantly changing my identities all of the time. Now at the same time, let me point out that Chazal have a famous mimer that she'elas chacham chatzi tshuva. So the emes is that you have an achrayas to also learn the sugyas yourself, meaning you can't just say, I have a paisek, I'll just go to the paisek. But part of your chelag of lima d'atayra is indeed to at least understand what the nekudas are. And once again, just as we say in the computer industry, garbage in, garbage out. In Pesach Halach, it's very much the same way. If the Shaila is, if the Pesach doesn't really know everything and he's totally on you, the quality of the Pesach will be totally on the quality of the Shaila. Meaning, the more that the Shaila has been thought through and you've identified Stadim, then the Pesach is able to be Machriya on those Stadim. If your Shaila is not well thought out, if you present it wrongly, if you distort, if you emphasize something as an Iker, which is really a Tafel, and you're Mashmid something that's an Iker, then the Pesach is going to be wrong. Now, sometimes there is a mystical Hashgacha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, causes it to come right. That's Tali Ansiyat Yishma. You know, there's a mystical idea in Pesach Halacha that even if the Shaila was all messed up, somehow the Pesach is going to be right. That's Tali Anschus. That's the beginner of Ein Simchan Al Anes. You can't be Simchan Al Anes that when you have a Krum Shaila, there's going to be a good answer to it and the like. Remember the famous Maisa? Rav Chaim didn't like the Paskin. I mentioned it from my other share. Rav Chaim didn't like the Paskin. So when he had big Shailas, he would ask Rav Yitzchak Ochanan, who was the Pesach Hador. So legend has it, I don't know if it's true, that whenever he would have send a Shaila to Rav Yitzchak Ochanan, he would always say, give me the Pesach, but don't give me the Lumdus. Don't give me the reason. Just tell me Usser, Mutter. Why? Because in Lumdus, Rav Chaim would dingzach. In Lumdus, Rav Chaim, you know, would analyze things in a deeper way, and he would be chaylik in the Yitzchak Ochanan. But he said, even if your Lumdus is krum, he said, you're the Pesach Hador, so you have a siyata d'shmaya, that you will come up with the right answer. Even if, you know, the Lumdus is something I disagree with. So don't give me the Lumdus, that's just going to confuse me, because I'm going to be chaylik on the Lumdus, so I can't be makabel the Pesach. I'm makabel the Pesach, no matter what you say, because it's right. And the Nevi Yehuda said that a Pesach does have siyata d'shmaya to be machriya el emes. In fact, the story goes when the Nevi Yehuda applied. It's hard to imagine these gedolim had to apply for shtelers too. But when he applied for the Rabbanus of Prague, right? He was the Rav of Prague. So there were people in Prague who wanted the job. There were Talmidei Chacham who wanted the job, and they didn't like this outsider coming in and trying to get the job. So they tried to shtare him by asking him at a prava all sorts of complicated shailas, and most of them he answered, but one of them he didn't answer, and he said to the person, he says, that's a made up shaila. You made that up. That's not a real, they're supposed to ask him real shailas. Why do you say that? Because I know. When I'm asked a shaila, halacha lemaisa, I'm margish as siyata d'shmaya in my ability to answer. When someone asks me a made-up shaila, you know, I'm not, you know, since it's not nogea lemaisa, I don't have that siyata d'shmaya. So he said, I'm margish, I don't have a siyata d'shmaya here. So,
huh?
No, it's not true. This is these maisim, you don't know. These are maisim that are makubal. I think Rav Shach brings it. Rav Shach's grandson, Rav Asher Bergman, put together very, very wonderful. What is it called? It's really a book of Maisim that Rav Shach would say over. It's alphabetical, Gedolim, you know, whatever. What did Rav Shach say about the Gra, about the Or Sameach, about the Vedi Yehuda? Right. So I think he brings the story in there. But these are Mipi Yeshua. When people ask me, you know, to footnote a Maisim like that, that's very hard. I can't tell you. I'm not that old. I wasn't there. Yeah.
How does that apply in the Maisa? Let's say we hear a Pesach and you approach that maybe the person didn't have full information, then you say, well,
you know,
answer to Shmaya.
You know, it's an interesting question. In spite of the fact of these Maisa, Lemaisa, Bederach Klal, as I say, we have to get our vein Seifchen al Anes. We are Mechuyev to be very, very sure that the right facts were given. If the right Messias was not given to Bemela, the Pesach itself was going to be over Ubud. So it's, you know, it's hard to say. Okay. So anyway, what I want to talk about tonight is a very interesting topic. It's not necessarily going to be Sonogei Lamais, although it might be, but it's more of a quasi-Lumdisha beginning of these Sugyas. And that is really the Sugya of Kavod HaBrias. And here, there is a tshuva from Rav Avadya Yosef on the Sephardic side, and on the Ashkenazic side, the Ber Moshe. If you heard of the Debre Tzina Rav, he's not alive anymore. This was Rav Moshe Stern. Very, very chashuva. He was a chashuva Pesach in New York. And he wrote Tshuvas Ber Moshe, and Rav Avadya, of course, had Yabia Omer. And it's interesting, they both come up with the same psak and the same shaila, obviously asked by two different families. And the Shaila is like this. The Shaila is, imagine a woman who is non-religious, and before she was married, she had sexual relations with different people, Goyim, Jews, it makes no difference. And she had an abortion. She had an abortion. We'll talk later, the serum of abortion, but whatever it was an abortion. She then becomes a Chezeres B'Tshuva. She becomes a Balas Tshuva, a very firm woman. She marries a Ben Torah. And there's also a Shaila. See, this Shaila is all, assuming all sorts of unasked Shailas. And she didn't tell her husband anything. Her husband has no idea of her past. That's also a Shaila, but okay, we're just going to assume that. So, what then happens is really kind of a nightmare situation for a woman in this month. So she gets pregnant. Now, if you think about this, she'd be praying either for a cesarean. Now, there's a problem basically is, if she has a boy, technically, the boy is not a bechor because she had an abortion. The Vlad, you know, normally, to pater from pidyon haben, even an abortion is paters from a later pidyon haben, unless it's very early, like tafas from yom yayin. But certainly, once you have a vorim, once a baby has recognizable limbs, whether it's stillborn or aborted, that is called a peter rechem. There's no chiv of pidyon on that because it didn't live the 30 days, but the next Vlad does not have a pidyon haben. Right, one has to know that halacha. So she's very, very frightened because her husband is going to want to make a pidyon haben with a bracha. But al pi din, because she had the abortion, there would be no din of pidyon haben. So her hope would be she'd either have a girl, in which case there'll be no shaila, or maybe there'll be a cesarean section, in which case there'll be no shaila. Right? But in a way, the biggest simcha to have a boy and have a pidyon haben, and the husband is so excited. There's going to be a shaila about bracha levatala, right? So the shaila would be the following. The shaila would be, she went to a rav, and she went to the rav, and she basically said, you know, my husband, what if I have a boy, or maybe it was after the birth, I don't remember the shaila, am I mechuyev to tell my husband that I was pregnant before? Because otherwise what's going to happen is, now you can do a fake pidyon haben, but the problem is, there are brachas that are recited. There are two brachas. There's a shachiyanu, and there's the bracha al pidyon haben. It's a bracha levatala. And if I'm going to be garim, the woman says, I'm going to be garim a bracha levatala, so is it lifnei iver l'sitei michshol? Is there a chiyav l'afrushei mi'isura? Or can I keep the information quiet? Because otherwise I would suffer tremendous bizayon and a shalom bias, and perhaps even, he would even divorce her if he found out her sexual history. Right, so the shaila, she went to a rav, and she asked the shaila, am I mechuyev to be my dia, my husband, about my sexual history in order not to be gairem, a bracha levatala of pidyon haben? And the question becomes the issue of kavod abrios and shalom bias. So both Rav Avadya and the Ber Meisha paskened in such an eifen that she doesn't have to be modia. Now, if there are things that she could say that wouldn't be mechayev for her to say this, for example, if they'd been married a few years, they developed a strategy of sheker, so to speak. Let's say she'd married a few years and she didn't have children, and then she has her first boy, so she might be able to say, well, you know, I had some early miscarriages and I asked the shaila to the Rav and the Rav told me it was enough to potter. If she can get away with it that way, she could get away with it that way. But if, for example, she's only been married 9 months or 10 months, and this is the first one, mom is the first one, then it'll be very schwer. She can't get away with it unless she says she had a kid. Right, some say you might be able to fool around with the yichus. She might say, you know, I didn't realize my mother was a baslevi. Yeah, okay, but that depends. You won't be, you know. In other words, the chatchila, you try to make up a story that will not involve bizayon. But if push comes to shove, they say you don't have to tell, she doesn't have to tell, even if that's going to be a bracha levatala. So I want to go over the lumdus a little bit because it'll have some other implications as well. And the lumdus here is based on a sugya in Maseches Brachos in the third perek on Daf Yud Tes. And the Gemara starts off, Haloivesh Kalayim Beshuk. If I put on a garment and I discover as I'm walking in the street that it's shatness, right? Even if it's my, not just my jacket, let's say it's my shirt, or let's say it's my pants even, I am mechuyev to rip it off, even if that leaves me naked and exposed, because we have a pasuk, ein chachma ve'ein tzfunya neged Hashem, kol makom sheish chilul Hashem, meaning if you're violating the Torah, ein chokin kavod l'rav, there's no inyan of kavod abri. So the Gemara seems to say, basically, that you're not allowed to transgress a doraisa, even if there's great bizoyon and humiliation. Actually, it's a whole kasha. Why do I need a pasuk for that? In other words, the implication would be that without a pasuk, there's a hava amina. But the chayra, the carrots, I can only, the chayvahem says I can only be over on a loisasa, the makam pikuach nefesh. So why would I have a hava amina? I could be over on a loisasa for kavod abrius. The answer has to be, Taka, because kishem that we say, amal ben pnei chaveire barabim, is ki'ilu shofech damim, there would be a hava amina, Taka, that if not violating this law, I'm going to suffer public humiliation. That is ki'ilu, it's nogeya to shvichas damim. Okay. But be this as it may, the Gemara then comes out that in spite of the rule that b'makam shi'yesh chilul Hashem ein chelkin kavod l'rav, there are two exceptions. There are two important exceptions. There are two situations where kavod habriyos allows you to be over an iser. One is where the iser is an iser derabbanan. That the rabbanan, actually maybe we shouldn't call it over an iser, but the rabbanan were not minded their iser b'makai kavod habriyos. So the Gemara gives an example. The Gemara says that for kavod habriyos, a kohen could walk through a beis hapras. A beis hapras is a field in which a mace was buried in a certain place, but it was plowed over. So midrabanan were choshesh for bone fragments throughout the field within 100 amos, but that's a tumah drabanan. So we allow that to makam kavod habriyos. But the second chiluk the Gemara gives is shev v'altasa, meaning to say the following. Even on a doraisa, you're not allowed to be over b'kum v'yasei b'makam kavod abrius, but you could be over b'shei v'altasa. So the example the Gemara itself gives is the following. If I have a chiyuv to bring a korban pesach, and I see a meis mitzvah that's mutl b'bizayin, so the halacha is I am metapel with the meis mitzvah, even if that disables me from bringing a korban pesach, because the kavod habrios, so it's not only embarrassment, but the kavod of a meis being mutl b'bizayin overrides the mitzvah d'oraisa of korban pesach. Aye, why should that be so? If I don't bring a korban pesach, I'm chayiv karis. The answer is because not bringing the korban pesach is a shev v'altasa. You're being over on the Torah b'shev v'altaisa. To be over on the Torah b'shev v'altaisa is mutter b'makam kavod abrias. The other example the Gemara gives is the din of zakei v'eino lefi chavodei v'yashava saveda. Right, there is a din that says that if I find a lost article, and normally I am mechuyev, I have a mitzvah saseh of hashava saveda, and I have a lo saseh, leisucha leisale. But if, for example, let's say it's a little dog, and it would be embarrassing for some big Rosh Hashiva to slip around a little dog, so that's called zakein v'eina lefi chavodei. So a zakein v'eina is patur mi'hashava saveda. And the Gemara explains because kavod habriyos is deicha a mitzvah d'oraisa if it is b'shev v'altasa. Right. So these are the two rules that emerge from the Gemara.
That's what we learned from the din of zakein v'eina.
That's correct. The Gemara says that's well. That's not the makor of zakein v'eina fi chavodei is v'hisalamta
mehem. We learned from that.
But we learned from there yisayin. Right. Right. That's correct. So according to the Gemara, we have two different yisaydais of kavod habriyos. One is kavod habriyos always overrides in iser derabanan. And number two, we say that kavod abrius will override even a chiyuv min haTorah if it is b'shei v'altaseh, which is the case of korban pesach, meis mitzvah, korban pesach, and the din of zakein v'einol pichol. Now, let me stop there, even before we leave the Gemara. Let me just ask a simple question. If that's the case, then how do you understand the original din? I'm wearing shadness, and I'm walking in the street, and then all of a sudden I discover, oyvei, I'm wearing shadness. Now, l'chaira, if I already put on the shadness, then my not taking it off is only a shave v'altasa. I'm not taking it off. So l'chaira, kavod habriyos, should say, I'm not mechuyev to take it off. Now, I'm just asking, why isn't the case of Loivish Kalayim Bashuk itself a case of Shev V'Altasa, since right now the Shaila is, do you have to take it off or don't you have to take it off? My not taking it off is Shev V'Altasa, so B'makam Kavod Abrios, it should be Mutter. So the Rishonim say, you have to say this, you have to say that even though once I'm wearing the Shadness, it's called Shev V'Altasa, because the issue is, do I take it off? But since the fact that I'm wearing it came through a kumbiyase, it is gerechened to be a kumbiyase. In other words, you actually see this in the Gemara in Makkos, because the Gemara in Makkos says that if I put on shatness and I keep on wearing it, and the witnesses keep on giving me hasra to take it off, I can get multiple malchus, even though lav shein bo maisa ain't likin, because since the tchilas halavisha was al yidei maisa, we reckon the continuity of it to be a maisa. Now, this gives rise to an interesting shaila that might be nogei l'maisa. It actually happened to me last Yom Kippur. Let's say you're wearing a talis, married guy, you're wearing a talis, and you discover in the middle of davening that, you know, the tzitzis are puzzled. Am I mechuyev to take off the talis? Because every second I'm wearing a talis without the tzitzis, Dalit Kanfus without tzitzis, I'm oyver on a mitzvah saseh. Now, some achrayim say you have to take off the talis, and they simply say pasha. It's not really a question of kavod abrios, because people always take off their talis. It's not like taking off your shirt. So that's a different question, meaning it's not a kavod abrios issue, because it's not such a busha, you take off your talis. Okay, but others say that if you take it off, if you have to take it off suddenly, it's a busha and a bizoya. But here's my question. My question is that Dachduch Nechabes Yoyer does say you're not mechuyev to take off your talis till you leave the shul. You should leave the shul as soon as you can, then take it off. You're not mechuyev to be peishet, because Kavod Habriyais allows you to be oiver b'shei v'altasa, and b'shei v'altasa is not taking off the talis. So again, I just want to ask a question. Is, well, wait a second here. What is the difference? If I discover I'm wearing shatness, then I just gave you a svara that that's called kumbiyase, because I did a maisa levisha, and I'm mechuyev to take it off. So what's the difference between discovering that I'm wearing shatness and discovering, in which we don't call that Shevi Altasa, we call that Kumbiyase, versus discovering my tzitzis are puzzle, where those who consider it a bizayin, again, some say it's not a bizayin, but those who consider it a bizayin, they're willing to consider it to be a Shevi Altasa, because you're simply not taking off your tzitzis. What chazaka? Yeah, well, okay.
Last time we checked,
that might be a swara. In other words, you're assuming it got puzzled after your levisha. That might be a swara.
No,
because if it got puzzled after your levisha, you don't have that swara. The swara that keeping it on is a hamshacha of a maisa is true by shatness, because it was shatness when I put it on. Here, there might be a swara. Maybe it got puzzled after I put it on, in which case it's only a Shevi Altasa. It should also be, too, that the Isser of Tzitzis is not the Maisa Levisha, meaning it's, the Isser of Tzitzis is not it's Osir to be Loivesh, a beged without Tzitzis. Rather, it's a mitzvah saseh. You are mechuyev to put tzitzis on such a beged. So the aveira is not the lavisha. The aveira is not putting on tzitzis. You're oiver on the obligation to put on tzitzis. So the shevi al tasa is the not putting on tzitzis. All right. Now,
why take
yeah.
it off at all?
No, because you have to do it. You have to do it in a way.
It's covered up.
No, I understand, but it's after the kayim shnei. I mean, you're not right. You're not mechuyev to embarrass yourself because it's shevi al tasa, but you are mechuyev to put yourself in a matzav where you're not embarrassed. Now, in a chnami, if leaving the shul suddenly would cause embarrassment, it would be the same cheshmer. But as soon as you're able to leave without embarrassment, yeah, but they say some achrayim and beklal say it's not a bizayim, but okay.
But you're saying the whole Isser is Levisha.
Yeah. Now then it would be a Kumbi Aseh. Then it would be, that's what I'm saying. In other words, if the Isser is to be Lovesh a Beged without Arba Kanfes, that would be a Kumbi Aseh. That would be like Shatnas. But here what I'm saying is that the Chavis Yoyer is learning that the Aveira is not the Levisha. The Aveira is not fulfilling the mitzvah of Tzitzis on such a garment. That is a Kum. That is a Kumbi Aseh.
Yeah. Doesn't say that on Shabbos when you can't tie it anyway.
That would be totally on that Shiloh. That's why some say that on Shabbos, which makes perfect sense. If the Isser is not the Levisha, the Isser is the Chiyuv, when you can't do that Chiyuv, there's no Isser. That's why some say you can wear a puzzle talis on Shabbos, although we're machmer in that. Okay. Now, here's the thing. So we have this Chiluk between Kumbi and Seinol. Let me give you a third example. So I gave you... The Gemara itself gives two examples of Shevi Al Tasa. One is a Zaken Ve'Einu Lefi Chavodo. The other is being Mevatol Korban Pesach for a Meis Mitzvah. Shatnis, the Gemara does consider to be Kumbi Aseh. Shatnis. Tzitzis, the Chavis Yor treats as Shevi Al Tasa. Let me give you another example how to analyze this. We have the Ramah. Let's say a person is a Kohen. The Kohen is asleep. And the Kohen wakes up and discovers that Rechman Oslan, somebody died in the house. So a Kohen cannot stay in a house in which there's assuming it's all in the same room and it's an oil. So even though the Kohen already becomes Tameh, it's an interesting question. You might actually ask the question in general about this. If a Kohen is in a house when somebody dies, or a hospital, why is he mechuyev to leave? I mean, he's already tameh. There's an isser on a kohen to become tameh. He's already tameh, so what's the difference if he stays another half an hour? Well, that's a good kasha in Lumbus, but it's a davar pashut lahalacha, that even though he becomes tameh, he is still mechuyev to be poresh min atuma as soon as possible. Okay, so that is the halacha. Even though in Lumbus you could ask why that's so. But here's the question. Let's say he's sleeping naked, or he's sleeping in his pajamas or his underwear, and he discovers mace. Is he allowed to get dressed, or is he mechuyev to run out naked? Is covered up rias, will it allow him to be mashe betuma? So the Ramah is mashma, that although I don't have to wake him, and we'll talk about why that's so, but if he's awake and he knows, he has to leave. I'll discuss later why it would be different, why I don't have to wake him up. Now, again, the question I just want to know is that a shevi al tasa, or is it a kumbi aseh? In other words, what is the coloring being over on here? So it would seem to me, I didn't see this chok, I wish I did, that it really depends on when the person died. If the person died before the Kohen went to sleep, or before the Kohen entered the house, let's say, then one could argue that his kenisa into the bayis, although b'shage, is the maisa that was metamehim, and then by analogy to shatnes, staying in the house is a hamshacha of the kumbi aseh, and then he would have to leave. But Leonius Daiti, it seems pashut to me that if the guy died while the Kohen was asleep, it seems that that is mamish shevi al tasa. The only thing I'm doing is I'm not leaving the house. So l'chaira, the kasha I have is the mashmos of the Ramah that the Kohen has to leave the house. Right, the Ramah's mashmos, the Kohen has to leave the house even in his underwear. L'chaira, there should, I'm leaving this kasha, there should be a chiluk between a kenisa l'chatchila when there was a dead body versus somebody who died when he was asleep. So that's a little bit of aura. I mean, the issue of Shevi Altas and Kumbi Asay are not so pashut. Okay. But now let's go back to a major machlekes, the Rambam and the Rush.
Is this like everyone's masking to that for a Shevi Altas and
a That's correct. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says that beferish. For a Shevi Altas, you don't leave the Makam covered Abrias. Or you're allowed to be over passively. But as I say, it's tricky. In other words, you see from all of these examples that what is a Shevi Altasa versus what is a Kumbia Say is not so pashut. It is not so pashut, because you see different chilukim. But the concept of Shevi Altasa is beferish in the Gemara, and all the pais can bring it. It's brought down the halacha that Shevi Altasa is nitcha. Now, you'll get into an issue as well. Number one, there are going to be two problems. What is Shevi Altasa? Number two, what is covered abrius? For example, I mentioned that many achrayim say that taking the talus off your shoulders is not a shaila of covered abrius, because they say it's not a bizayin. People they go to the bathroom, they take their talus off. It's not such an embarrassment.
That's across the board, like each pesik we talk about is placed by the talus.
Say again.
Could each pesik, are they arguing with each other with the talus, or which one's talking about his place? Like, is that subjective?
Yeah, it's hard to know. It's hard to know. And again, it could be they're not arguing. It could be everything depends on the masif. You know, everything depends on the situation. You know. In the middle of Ne'ila to pull off my talus, you know, maybe that's more of a bizayon than in Gabra Lagabra by Elias or whatever it is. I will tell you myself, when I had this situation, actually I don't even remember now, it was on Yom Kippur. My talus was, I thought my talus was puzzle, I wasn't sure, but it looked to me that it might be puzzle. Yeah, I took it off right away. I took it off at my seat. Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I walked out. But yeah, no big deal. Nobody in particular, there was no particular bizayon that was involved. But it may depend. You know, if you're a chazan, you're a chazan, right? You're the Baal Tefila that you discovered. You know, that might be an example of covered abrius and the like. Okay, so now let me go over, again, this is all a long segue. I'm going to go back to Pidgin Aben. Yeah, we'll get back to the Shaila. You'll see how brilliantly all of these yesaides, come to answer a shaila like this. There is a fundamental machlekes, the Rambam and the Rush. The Gemara in Brachai says, if I'm wearing shatnes and I discover I'm wearing shatnes, I got to rip it off, right? As I state in the Gemara. Good. What if I don't know that I'm wearing shatnes, but you know that I'm wearing shatnes? Do you have to tell me that I'm wearing shatnes so I'll rip it off? Or can you wait till I come home and then tell me, take it off? Or, l'idach kisa, perhaps not only do you have to tell me, but if I don't do it, you rip it off, my, right? So that's the question. The question is, the Gemara says, b'feirish, that the lovesh that becomes aware has to rip it off. But the shaila is, if the lovesh is not aware, am I mechuyev to tell him? State in the Rush, Maseches Nida, which is the main sugya of Shatnas. State in the Rush, based on a Yerushalmi, I'm not mechuyev to be maidia him. Or to put it another way, I can wait until he won't be mavuza, and then be maidia him. But I don't have to be maidia him if that's going to create bizayon. As they state in Rush, the Rambam says, however, that at least if it's an Isser D'Oraisa, Shatnas Shel Torah, which could also be a Diyan, the Rambam says, I am Mechuyev to be my Diyan, and if he doesn't rip it off, I rip it off. Because Kishen, that Kavod Abrius, doesn't allow him to wear Shadness when he becomes aware of it. Kavod Abrius doesn't allow me to keep quiet. I'm Mechuyev Liafrushe Mi'isura. Now, this will be the Shaila of the Kohen. Because that's why, in other words, now you understand the Chiluk I made. Right, the Ramaz says, the Ramaz Mashma, that if the Kohen knows there's a Meis Babayis, he has to leave even B'makam Kavod Abrius. Question is, if he's asleep, do I have to wake him and be Maidia? This would be Tali on the Rambam and the Rush. According to the Rambam, I would have to be Maidia him. According to the Rush, I could wait till he wakes up, or I could wait till he gets dressed. In fact, what I could do according to the Rush would be, I should wake him up right away, but I could tell him, we have to get, I should, in other words, according to the Rush, I don't have to tell him there's a Meis Babayis, but I could tell him, we have to get out of the house as soon as we can, so get dressed. That would be the answer according to the Rush. According to the Rambam, I gotta say, there's a mace, get out right now. Okay. Now, what is the Svara of the Machlaikas? The Svara of the Machlaikas, the Shagas Aryeh says, is, how do you understand Shevi Altase and Kumbi Ase? Because here's the thing. On one hand, my not giving you tight, in other words, what I'm doing is the following. I'm using your Kavod Abrius as a basis not to give you tochacha, not to give you musar, not to tell you. So mitzidi, it's a shevi al tasa. So I'm allowed to passively violate the chiyuv of lefrushe misura because of your Kavod Abrius. That's the svara of the Rush. I'm not mechuyev to be magdia you, because mitzidi it is a shevi al tasa. But the Rambam says, wait a second. Maybe mitzidcha it's a shevi al tasa, but your shevi al tasa not being mochiachim is causing him to be over on the tarei b'kum v'yasei by lebishas shatnas and the like. So the question is, do you define? I don't want to get into all of the lumbership as a stipend, but just in terms of the basic machlokas. Do you define Shevi Altasa in terms of the underlying Aveira that's being committed, or in terms of your response in not being Maidia? Right? The Rush looks at it mitzad you. It's a Shevi Altasa, because what you're doing is you're keeping your mouth shut. So, B'makam Kavod Abrios, you keep your mouth shut. Shevi Altasa. As I zuk the Rush. This is what the Shagas Aryeh is masber. The Rambam says, no. If by your being quiet, the person is going to go weiter in being over b'kumbi asay, there's a kumbi asay here. So you're mechuyev to be my dia. Now, the Shagas Aryeh then says, this machlokas, the Rambam and the Rush, again, by the way, I want to tell you ahead of time, this is going to be a bit more lumbish than most of the shir will not be so lumbish, but I thought maybe the beginning of this month to be mamtik a little bit with Divrei Torah will be a little more lumbish. So I don't want to either get your expectations up or get you frustrated. If you don't like lumbish, I don't want to get you frustrated. So either way. But the Shagas Aryeh says that this is toloi on two terutzim of Taisus. The Gemara in Shavuos says a very fascinating Taisus. But you'll mamish see the Rambam and the Rush in the two terutzim of Taisus. The Gemara says, "Eitzurvam Rabbanan." If you're a Talmud Chacham and you know Eidus about something, but the Beis Din that the Dion is in front of is a Beis Din that is not Lefi Chavoytcha. So let's say you're a big Rosh Hashiva, and there's some like young rabbis that have a Beis Din. Are you mechuyev to go to that Beis Din to give edus? Normally, there's a chiyev to give edus. Im lo yagid, v'nasa avono. If I know edus about something, I am mechuyev to go to a Beis Din. Must a greater Talmud Chacham go to the humiliation of going to a much lesser Beis Din to give edus? So the Gemara says, if it's an Indian of Mammon, he doesn't have to, because Chazal were misak and hefker Beis Din hefker, you know, you're not mechuyev. But legabe isra v'heter, for example, if a woman might be married or an eishes ish, and you have edus benogei of that, you are mechuyev to go to a Beis Din, even though it's a bizonyan. So frek taisa sakasha like this. Frek taisa sakasha. Since not going to a Beis Din is a Shei V'Altasa, not going to a Beis Din is a Shev V'Altasa. So B'makam Kavod Abrios, I'm allowed to be over on a Shev V'Altasa. So why does the Gemara say I have to go to the Beis Din? So Taisus gives two tirutz. And listen, tirutz number one is that going to the Beis Din is not really a bizayon, meaning it's not a real Kavod Abrios issue. It's not so bad. So even B'Shei V'Altasa, you have to have a big Kavod Abrios, not a little Kavod Abrios. In fact, that's the basis, by the way, of the Shitas to say taking off your talus is a bizayon katan. Okay. But the second tirutz of Taisus says, since by your not going to the Beis Din, the case over there was, you have Eidus, she's an Eishes Ish. Without your Eidus, they're going to matter her. Since you're not going to the Beis Din is going to be gorein her to be over b'kumbi asay, it's called kumbi asay. So do you see that the two tirutzim of Taisus are mamish the machlokas, the Rush and the Rambam? If you're doing a shevi altasa that's going to be gorein b'kumbi asay, the Rush says you have a heter of kavod abrios. And that's really the first tirutz of Taisus, who have to come up with the fact this is not a bizayon. Otherwise, if it would be a bizayon, you wouldn't have to go. The second tirutz is going with the Rambam svara that when my shevi altasa is goreim kumbi asay, it's called kumbi asay, right? So the machlokes. So now let's go back to Pidyon HaBen, right? And again, you see, by the way, this is just a small example. This is not even a particularly complicated tshuva, but you see that. All real psak halacha has to be miyusad on Gemara and Rishayim, right? That you know, to simply learn kitzurim and learn, you know, sifrei halacha, which are important to give us bottom line, so to speak. But one cannot really paskin without a havana of the sugya. Say again.
You brought that all in the tshuva.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, isn't that, yeah? This is in the tshuva, yeah. This is in the tshuva, yeah. So here's the chet. So now let's go to Pidyon HaBen. By Pidyon HaBen, what is the Nakuda? She wants to be able, the woman wants to be able to not reveal the information, even though it will be goreim, a bracha levatala. Now we can assume that the bizayin of revealing the information is a severe enough bizayin that it's a pagam in kavod abrios. We can make that seems to be an assumption. This is not like taking off your talis and shul. This is a big one. This could cause divorce, could cause humiliation, etc. But the question is, number one, the Gemara gives us two heterim, drabanans and shevi altasa. Let's analyze each heter. If the isser is midrabanan, you can allow an isser drabanan b'makom kavod abrios. So here's question number one. Is making a bracha levatola an isser drabanan? What is the isser of making a bracha levatola? So the emesis, there is a Gemara in Brachos that says, if you make a bracha levatola, you are over on leisisa es Hashem alekecho lashav, which is the simple literal reading of the Gemara is, bracha levatola is isser d'oraisa. But it's Yadua Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Shitas Rabbeinu Tam says the Gemara is just using this as an Esmachta B'Alma, and in fact Bracha Levatala is only an Isser D'Rabbanan. Rabbeinu Tam is Mechalik. This is a very important Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that being Maskir Shem Shamayim Levatala might be an Isser D'Oraisa. The Stamazai be Maskir Shem Hashem Levatala. But when you do it benusach habracha, it is called a tehillah. It is called a shavach. It is called a praise of God. So on a doraisa level, if I want to make a bracha without water, bracha to Hashem, I say Hashem's name, and I say shahako, that's a prayer, that's a tefillah. Rabbeinu Tam is very interesting. Rabbeinu Tam says the whole din of bracha levatala is only drabanan, and it's not haskara shem shemayim levatala bichlal. This is, I think it's in Brachas. I can find the daf. Now, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a davar pashut. The woman wouldn't have to be magdiya her husband, because the worst that the husband is doing in his nisur derabbanan and isurei derabbanan are permitted b'makayim kavod abrias. But the Rambam is chaylik. The Rambam is actually chaylik. The Rambam says in a number of places, he says in the Mishnah Torah, and he says in the Tshuvas HaRambam, that if you make a bracha levatala, you are over on a doraisa of leisisa. And in fact, the Rambam said, in fact, the letter Rebbeinu Tam is a bit of a kasha. This is why we have a general rule always, safek brachais lekula. In other words, when we say, if you're mesupik, if I'm mesupik if I did a mitzvah, so we generally say, on the mitzvah, I gotta go ahead and do it, but I do it without a bracha, because safek bracha lekula, the Rambam says, the yesod of safek bracha lekula is that you're over on a safek leisisa. Now the question is, going to Rabbeinu Tam, it actually is a kasha. If bracha levatala is to Rabbanan, why don't I make a bracha again? The answer is, because birchas hamitzvah is a chiyuv drabbanan, and it's safek drabbanan lekula. Meaning, like the Rambam, safek brachas lahakel is based on safek daraksa lechumra. Like Rabbeinu Tam, it's based on safek drabbanan lekula. You get the same place, but
the Rambam has to ask him to Rabbeinu Tam also. That
you know,
that it's also safek
drabbanan
lahakel.
Yes, sure,
true.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but the Rambam does add that there's a safek leisisa. A suffix derisa.
Saying that we'll be masking the brach derisa that you mentioned. We'll be masking that you do it. Either.
Yes. So
it has to be built on.
I hear. Yes. So in other words, it's only where the brach itself is drabbanan. Right. Yeah. Okay. So the question is though. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what did we come out with? It's a davar pashut. The woman doesn't have to be madia. The only question is, according to the Rambam that says suffix. Bracha levatala is deraisa, so the chayre is a deraisa. Now, so here's what the post can say. If you went with the Rambam Lagamri, because remember we have two different dinam of the Rambam. One is the Rambam shita of bracha levatala, and the other is the Rambam's definition of kum v'yase. but those are two different Rambams. If you went with the Rambam 100%. She would have to be Magdiya, because she loses both benefits of the Gemara. She can't invoke the Drabbanan Dikadin, because the Rambam holds Bracha Levatala is the Araisa, and she can't invoke the Shei V'Altasa Dikadin, because the Rambam's definition of Shei V'Altasa, this is a Kumbiyase, since her not telling him is going to be Goreng, that he makes a Bracha. But both the Deborah Senior and Ravaji Yosef say that we don't have to, the two Rambams are logically not dependent, and in fact the Ramah, although the Ramah maybe is not machriya clearly between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam Magabi Bracha Levatala, the Ramah is machriya according to the Rush, because the Ramah says by the Kohen that's sleeping I don't have to wake him up, or I don't have to tell him that there's a mace until he gets dressed. Mimela, we reckon her not telling her husband, even if Bracha Levatala is the Araisa, we reckon her not telling her husband as a Shev V'Altasa. But it does turn out that if you went like the Rambam Lagamri, she would have to be Maidia, because this blibes a Kum V'Yase, and it's an Isser the Araisa of Bracha Levatala. Okay, but the hachra is that lemaisa you don't have to tell her, either because we tell him, either because we go like Rabbeinu Tam, or we consider this a shei v'altasa like the Rush, because she's not being maidia. Now the poskim say, as I say, if she could make up some above a maisa that would placate him without embarrassing herself, you know, either she's a bas levi if her parents are not showing up. Of course, those things tend to haunt you later, because next time they're visiting the in-laws for Pesach, hey, I didn't know you were a lady, whatever. You know, these things always get you in trouble, one way or the other, or that she had some early abortion, or you know, from the husband, some type of thing that potted her from Pidgin Aben, or the like. But if it's not Shayach, we would have a din of Kavod HaBris. Now, The next thing, I'm going to be mamshich a little bit with this, because this leads to a much more severe shaila. And that is, the native Yehuda has a tshuva. And really, he is the forerunner of this lembus. This lembus is all based on Nedib Yehuda, initially. Really, quite a maisa, quite a racy maisa. This involved a son-in-law that was mizane with his mother-in-law. He had an affair with his mother-in-law. He then became a chozer b'tshuva. He was from when he did it, but he, now we know he's chozer b'tshuva. And the question is he mechuyev to tell his father-in-law that he was mizane with the wife? Now remember, keep in mind that the father-in-law is not allowed to live with his wife anymore. She's now a saita. So he's going to ask her, his mother-in-law and the father-in-law. On the other hand, it would be tremendous bizayin to him and to the whole family. So the question is he mechuyev? So the Nedib Yehuda actually goes into this arichas in which he wants to be taila initially on the Rambam and the Rush, that according to the Rush, it is a deraisa, yes. It's a shei, yeah. It's an issue of the araisa, but like the Rush, it's a shei v'altase. Like the Rambam, it's kum v'yasei. But Nedib Yehuda wants to. Nedib Yehuda is very machmir because he says, even like the Rush, it might be usher, because the Rush only permitted the Shevi Altasa when it's not going to go on forever and ever. Because eventually the guy's going to take it off, and then you can tell him. Here, you'll never be able to tell him. It'll be Kol Yoma of Biavera. But it's much more complicated. I'm going to have to leave this detail over for next week, because the complication is, well, wait a second. Let's say the guy does tell me. Why am I mechuyev to believe him? He's an Eid Echad. In other words, what is the halacha if a woman tells her husband, I had an affair? Or the bayal tells the husband, I had an affair? Or an eid echad tells the husband, whatever. In other words, it's not so pashut here that why am I mechuyev to be madiyah? If he's not mechuyev to believe me, then why am I mechuyev to be madiyah? Right? If there were two eidim, they would be mechuyev. But so maybe we discuss that. Lamaisa, he's very, very machmer. I want to go over this because it's an important tshuva. And this you may get, by the way. I mean, Rabbanim get women who come and say, I had an affair. What do I do? According to Nedib Yehuda, she would have to be my dia. But I will tell you, bottom line, just to give you bottom line, the bottom line is the hachra of kimat, all modern paiskim, even people who are very machmer, people who are very machmer generally, the bottom line is for a variety of svaras, I'll go over some of them next week, we generally tell the woman, just keep it to yourself and you don't have to say anything. Which means the psak of Heintig Achreinen is Bedafka not like the Nedib Yehuda. And they're not even tailored on the Rambam and the Rush. And they basically go with the Cheshbon. If the husband has no chiyuv to be maimon, then there's no chiyuv to be maidiyah, because even after you tell him, he doesn't have to act on it. So what are you doing here? It's like the Gemara says in Shavuos, that if an Eid Echad comes to a basin and is mayed that Reuven was Bayal as a Erva, we give Malkus to the Eid Echad. So the Eid Echad Tuvia Chato Zigud Menget, meaning, hey, this guy did the sin, you're hating me? The answer is, yeah. Since your Eidus is not Mayal, your Eidus is not going to accomplish anything. It's Lashon Hara B'Alma. Right, so there would be a zasvara that if your edus the husband doesn't have to listen to, all you're doing is driving a wedge and you're creating a pirit. Right, but we'll see. Nedib Yehuda himself was machmer, but we'll go over the stories in more detail. Okay. Is there a Maariv minyan?
Yeah. They're coming down.
Okay, good. Yeah. Say again?
Today that child is probably more covered.
It is more common. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sharon Levy has a future. Yeah. He's making a lot of stuff. By the way, let me give you the name of his sefer. Not all of this. I mean, I say things that are not always in the sefer, but you may have heard of the sefer Makariv B'Yamin. Makariv B'Yamin, based on the statement of Chazal that your Makariv is a sefer that goes through many halachic issues in Tzur HaPlaikim. So it gives you a lot of makairis, and it's available for free on HebrewBooks.org. You don't even have to pay for it. Now you're interested. Makara Viamin. Zolshinsky's
name. How can you be Madama? Let's say the Rosh, or any in this case, opinion event. Here, the person doing the chet, whatever, is not the person in the design.
Yep. It's a good shilluk. Where do you see that kavod abrius allows me to be machshel another person? Yeah, yeah. It's a good. I didn't see that svara, but that's a good svara. That's a good hara. I could be over for my kavod. Who says you can be over? Who says I could cause you to be over for my kavod? Yeah.
Isn't she also to him as well?
Isn't she also to him? She's Mizana? She is, yeah. So the question is, what about her? Yeah. So we'll see. It could be that in Lumdus there's a certain mashmais that she's usher because she's machshel him be'aver, meaning the isser is not be'etzim on her. The isser on him, and whenever he's allowed to be with her, she's allowed to be with him. That's a chiddush. Yeah, right. The union here is that the etzim chalais isser is on him, and on her it's a getter of a lifnei iver. Well, lifnei iver is the aveira of her being machshel him.
Yeah. In the case of the Pina Ben,
yeah.
She was over becoming the same. She shouldn't have had relations. She was causing a situation to happen.
Well, that was then. That was before she was married. But now that she's married, the only avla is she's going him to make a bracha. Yeah, I think it's time for Raj Wednesday. Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.